Okay, the clock just turned 2:30, so I'm going to start. Thanks for coming. The topic is explaining Romans using circles, the new and improved version. It was either 2 or 3 years ago I taught this, explaining Romans using circles. Was anybody in this room that was there when I did that? Okay, about six of you. Okay. And actually, that session inspired me to go back and look at the circles, and I realized they really need improving. When I taught it, then I had 4 circles, now I have 5. It's obvious to me now that there need to be 5. And it was Lucas Kitchen's wife, Krista, who told me how bad my format was and how she could make it really good. So I want to give thanks to Krista Kitchen for making what I think is really good. Look how neat and clean that is. And the one I gave you a few years ago didn't look like that at all. So a little bit of background on this. I've got one men's Bible study, but we meet in 2 groups of about 30 each. And I was taking them through the book of Romans and thought they were kind of getting it. And then when we got into chapter 8, I realized they're not getting it at all. I mean, I'm doing my best, and I thought it was clear. And when we got to chapter 8, I just realized, man, I got to start drawing some circles. So I started drawing circles. And when I drew the circles, they got it. I'm telling you the truth. It was amazing how the circles helped them to see what I was trying to explain verbally. So I can testify that I've seen it. Now, I'm not saying they get it totally, but they got it way better than they did before the circles. Romans is a hard book, and I'm still trying to understand a lot in it. But the circles helped me tremendously. As it did those people. So I've given you a version of this that has blanks, and I want you to go through this with me like you would if you were sharing it with somebody else. There's a learning mechanism in them going through and thinking through what to put in each blank. All right, then when we're through, you can get a clean copy of the one you have now, and you can take it home and make as many copies as you want. And teach it, share it with others. And I also have another copy that has the answers or the blanks filled in, okay? So some of you are thinking, well, I don't have to do this now. I'll just pick up one of those. Play along with me because it's part of the learning process. I want you to get the feel for this. And if you're going to teach it, don't give them the completed one. Let them think and work through it. And there's just something about going through the process that I think helps them to learn it better. Now, if you'll notice, on the back of the sheet are the key verses that I printed right there. I found this helpful, too, for them to have it right there. It's so much easier than just turning in their Bibles. It's all right there. So all they got to do is write on the front, look on the back, look for what the verse teaches. It was Krista that came up with the idea of putting numbers on here. Number 1 through 30. There are 30 blanks. I didn't have that when I taught it before, and it's so much easier to just go one blank at a time. So let's get started. Notice I didn't have this last time either. There are 5 circles, and they're in 3 categories. Problem, solution, and outcome. Those words on the left-hand side of the page. Circle number 1 represents the problem. The solution is in 2 steps, represented by 2 and 3. And the outcome is also in 2 stages or 2 categories, represented by circles 4 and 5. Notice that all 5 circles have 2 circles, one labeled body and the other labeled spirit. Obviously, this represents a person or people. All of us have a body and a spirit. Everybody in the world has a body and a spirit. And everybody in the world has a problem in body and spirit. So we want to go to number, circle number one. All right. You see blank number one, and it tells you to look up what verse. Just to try and see if you're with me. Does everybody see that? Blank one has a reference, 118. So let's look on the back. 118. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. So over that person, I'm looking for a key phrase. What do you think that phrase might be?
Wrath.
Yes, wrath of God. So number one is wrath of God. Okay, now notice blank number two. Do you see it underneath?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, again, it's 118. So I'm going to read it again. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. So the wrath of God is revealed against what? Yeah, you could write ungodliness. I wrote unrighteousness. I think unrighteousness would be a good word to use because of the terms that are used later in Romans. So number two is unrighteousness. Okay, now look at blank number three at the top. This is 3, 10, and 23. So let's look on the back at 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And in 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So from those verses, what do you think I'm looking for there? What would you write under number three?
Everyone.
Yeah, everyone. So what we see so far is pretty clear. Everyone experiences the wrath of God because everyone in the world is unrighteous. So we're getting a good start here. You can see how this is developing. All right, number four is, you see number four there in the spirit circle. And here, look at 5:12. Through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. I've got two blanks there. Can you guess what they are? Sin and death. Or sin and dead. Sin and dead is what I have because it's describing the person. Okay, number five describes the body that we all live in. And for this, we want to look at 8:10b, so I'll turn over to 8:10b. The body is dead because of sin. So what terms would we use for number five? What would we put there?
Sin and dead.
Sin and dead. Yep, same thing. So we've completed circle number one. This is the condition of everyone in the world. Everyone in the world is under the wrath of God because they are unrighteous. In their spirit, there is sin and death. And in their body, they are characterized by sin and death. So now we go to blank number six. Now notice blank number six labels an arrow that moves from circle one to get to circle two. So now we're going to move into the solution portion. To get from circle one to circle two, there's a key word. It's going to be the blank for number six. It's found in 3:22. Turn over to 3:22. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. So to get from circle one to circle two, there's a key word. What is it?
Believe.
Believe. You got to believe. Believe is the key word to get from circle one to two, number six. Okay, now look for blank number seven. Do you find it?
Mm-hmm.
It's underneath. It's underneath the circles. The verse here is 324. So let's go to 324. Being justified freely by his grace. What do you think the word here is? Justified. You got it. Justified. Now it's always here that, and you can write this down, what's justified mean? Declared righteous. So I always, every time I use, bring up justify, I always say, what's that mean? Declared righteous. And you might want to write that next to the word justified to remember it. And notice how that's different than what's under circle number one. Unrighteous. Now we're down circle two. Declared righteous. So you can see it very clearly to move to the solution. You've got to move from being unrighteous to being declared righteous. All right, number eight. The key verse is 8:16, so let's look at it. 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Can you guess what terminology I'm looking for there? Yeah, child of God, children of God. But we're talking about an individual, so blank number eight would be child of God. Notice the contrast between circle number one. Everyone. Everyone's everyone. But a child of God is not everyone. All right, number nine. And here we, number nine, it's 8:10a and B. So let's look at 8:10a and B. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. So what would the words be in number nine for the body? Sin and dead. Right, same as number one. The body doesn't change, but 10 does. Okay, blank number 10. Go back to 8:10c. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. What word would we put? Life. So turn back to 10, and the word is life. Okay. Number 11. We still have 1:18 there. So let's look at 1:18 again. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. This might be a little hard. What terminology am I looking for there? It's the same, wrath of God. Because the person in circle two still has unrighteousness and ungodliness. Even though he has life in his inner man, there's still a sin issue. So number eight is wrath of God. Excuse me. Number 11 is wrath of God. We still have one more term in circle number two, and that's number 12, right? Okay, this is, again, we're going back to the body. There's one more thing about the body found in 7:22 through 24. So let's look at 7:22 through 24. I delight in the law of God according to my inward man, but I see another law in my body's members, waging war against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my body's members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? That's a lot of words. And that this might be a little harder for me to fish here to see what I catch. Who can guess what word I might be looking for? What do you think the word might be that I'm looking for? I need more guesses. Yes, captivity. Captivity is the word I think is key here. If you would just bear with me and write the word captivity. And I want you to look at that. Look at the diagram, and you can visualize it. The spirit is life. But the body that surrounds my spirit, after I've believed, is in captivity to the law of sin and death, which is in my body. So you can see it visually, right? This is a picture of a believer. The believer has life in his spirit, still lives in a body of sin and death, and Paul uses the word captivity. That's what he's crying out about. I'm in captivity. My inner man is being held captive by my outer man, my body of sin and death. So I hope you can see that visually. All right, now we move to circle number 3. And we're on number 13. And we don't even have to look this up. You can see number 13 is 8, 10a, and 10b. What words would we put there?
Sin
and death. So even when we move to the second step in the solution, which is circle 3, we still have the same problem. We live in a body of sin and death. And number 14 is the same. What would that be?
Life.
All right. But number 15 is going to be a new dimension. And that's pictured by all those arrows. There's 3 arrows pointing out from the spirit through the body. I'm repeating that, and I want you to see that visually. The spirit is moving out through the body. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
It's visual, right?
Yep.
So look at 8:11, and let's figure out what word we're going to write. Even though they aren't blanks, you can write it 3 times next to those arrows. So let's go back to 8:11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Can you guess which word that we would label number 15? 3 times. I heard it.
Life.
Life. Yeah, if you can fit resurrection life, you could. But life will suffice. Life. Now I'm going to stop here just for a moment. This is critical to Romans. Romans 8:11. You got to understand Romans 8:11 to understand Romans. And I know from the men in my Bible study, this is so hard for them to understand. Until we drew the circles, they just couldn't get it. When they saw it in the circles, they kind of got it. And I think most of them did get it. Because most people would read Romans 8:11, and when it says he will give life to your mortal bodies, what would you guess most people would think that's talking about? Giving life to your mortal body.
Resurrection.
Resurrection. Future day, right? And that's true. He will give life to these mortal bodies in a physical resurrection on the day of the rapture. But that's not what Paul's talking about. Paul's not talking about that at all here. He's talking about the Spirit giving life to our mortal bodies right now, today. And you can see by looking at the circle, we live in dead bodies, characterized by sin. Bodies that are spiritually dead because of the sin that exists in these dead bodies. The spirit within us is life. And this is the whole point of Romans, is that the Holy Spirit can and will give life to these dead bodies. And in a moment, we're going to see what Paul says we need to do to make that happen. But before I go further, what this means is that we don't have to sin. We can live victoriously. We can experience God's life. Our bodies, which are instruments of death, can be instruments of God's life. And that's what Paul's talking about here, is the Spirit giving life. The life of God to these dead bodies, where we're actually living the righteous life of God in our daily lives. So how does that happen? Well, first let's go to number 16. Okay. 5, 9, and 10, and 116. So we've got to do some thinking on this one. So go back to 5, 9, and 10. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, boy, there's a lot in those two verses, but this is the key to Romans again. When I said 8:11 was a key, maybe I should say 5, 9, and 10 is the key. 5, 9, and 10 is huge. So let's, there is a key. Let me just start by fishing a little bit. Can you guess what word I'm looking for in 5, 9, and 10? Just can.
Saved.
Saved. So take it by faith for now and write saved on number 16. Okay. Saved. And I'm going to look at 116 as well, and then I'm going to go back to 5, 9, and 10. Look at 116. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to what?
Salvation.
Now, the Christian world, the evangelical world, as you know, has struggled unknowingly with straitjacketing the word saved by thinking saved always refers to what? Saved from hell. And if you've had some background here at GES, you know this is a big deal to see from Scripture that certainly the Scripture does talk about being saved from hell, but more times when the word saved is used, it's talking about being saved, you know, in another sense. Yeah, in the temporal sense, in this life, from the power of sin, which is what Paul is writing about. When Paul talks about salvation in the book of Romans, he exclusively, and I'm underscoring, exclusively uses the word saved or salvation, not as a term referring to being saved from hell, but being saved from the power of sin or wrath, from the wrath of God, the consequences of sin in our daily life. So with that as a background, you can understand why on the diagram, blank number 16 is the word saved. Now, going back to circle 2, number 7, we didn't put the word saved under number 7, did we? We didn't, because we're not, that's, Paul wouldn't put it, if Paul were here, he'd agree with me. I hope. But if Paul would agree with me, he said, don't put saved under number 7, put justified, declared righteous. Saved goes under circle number 3, because that's step 2. You have to be justified as the only foundation in order to eventually be saved in your daily life from the wrath of God in daily life. By the way, I'll talk about that in a moment. Now, I still want to spend a little more time on 5, 9, and 10. If you were teaching this, by the way, you would, please don't ever teach it like I am right now. Don't do that. I'm doing it for GES to get you through this in 40 minutes. But if you're going to teach this, you need to let people talk about it. They need to ask questions. It should take you weeks to teach this. And my wife has taught it in her women's Bible study as well. I mean, both of us, it just takes weeks, as long as it takes for them to talk it through and think it through. So I'm going really, really fast. These are new concepts to almost everybody that's never studied Romans. And it takes time for people to think about it and talk about it and ask questions. But I do want to go back to 5, 9, and 10, because this probably is, these concepts may be new to many of you. Some of you, you're familiar with it, but let me look at it again. 5, 9, and 10. Much more than having been justified by his blood. What tense is having been justified? Yeah, it's past tense. What tense is saved? Future. Future. We have been justified by his blood. That's how we got to circle number two. So that in the future we can be saved through him, saved in our daily life from the power of sin. Then he says it another way in verse 10. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. What tense? Past tense. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What tense?
Future.
Future. 5 minutes? I thought I had till 10 after.
You do.
Okay.
Oh, question time.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that. That's good. So, notice in 5, 9, and 10, it's the circles reflect 5, 9, and 10. What's happened in the past in your life, if you've had believed in Jesus, you got to circle 2. When did you get to circle 2? The moment you believed. So that in the future, in your daily life, you can move and live in circle 3, which is to be saved from the power of sin, the wrath of God. And based on Romans 5, 9, and 10, how are you saved? How are you saved? What are the terms?
Jesus' blood.
No, you're justified by his blood.
Okay.
How are you saved? By his life. Okay? Don't miss that. You're saved through him, in particular, by his life. So it's Paul is focusing on the death of Jesus is the work of God that is the basis of our justification. It's the life of the risen Jesus who lives right now in you through the Holy Spirit. It's his life that can save you and me from the temptation and sin that we face in our daily life. Go back to number 17. And here for number 17, I want you to look at chapter 8, verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what?
Sons of God.
Sons of God. So what term, what phrase do you think I'm looking for there?
Son of God.
So a number 17 is Son of God. Now, what did I have opposite Son of God on circle 2?
Child
of God. So right there you see there's a difference between a child of God and a son of God. You can see it visually. How about wrath of God? What's the difference between circle 2 and circle 3 when it comes to the wrath of God? Yeah. Circle 2, that person is still under the wrath of God, but in circle 3, that person is not under the wrath of God. Why not? Yeah, being saved from the wrath of God, being saved in their daily life from the wrath of God and the power of sin and the consequences of sin. So you can see it visually. Okay, number 18. 8, 5, and 6. 10, 9, 13, 14. There's a lot here. Let's look at 8, 5, and 6. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit have them set on the things of the Spirit. The mind set on the flesh is death. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. 8, 5, and 6 tells us how to get from circle 2 to circle 3. Okay? And what happens when we move from circle 3 back to circle 2? Okay? 8, 5, and 6 is the key to which circle we're living in on any given day. So number 18, the key word there is mindset. Mindset. Okay, number 19 is the arrow going to the right. I have number 19, spirit. And number 20, flesh. I'm going a little quickly right now. The mind set on the Spirit. If my mind is set on the Spirit, what circle am I going to be? If my mind's set on the flesh, what am I going to be?
Two.
So you can see that the key to Christian living is right there. First, I have to be justified, but if my mind is set on the things of the Spirit, I can live. I can be saved in my daily life from the wrath of God and the power of sin. All right, now I want to quickly finish this. Number 21, let's look at Romans 8, 21 and 23. The creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God, the redemption of the body. Here Paul is talking about a future day of resurrection. The redemption of the body is another word of way of talking about the resurrection of the body, and the creation is longing for that day. So let me tell you how to fill in the blanks here. Number 21 is resurrection. Someday we're going to be resurrected. Number 22, the word I'm looking for is liberated. We're going to be liberated. 24 is life. Nothing changes with the Spirit on the day of resurrection. The Spirit is life today, and the Spirit, my Spirit is alive right now. My Spirit will be alive on the day of resurrection. But what's different about the body? Life. The body has life. No more sin and death in the body. That's number 25. Okay, let's go to number 26. Good, I skipped it to see if you were paying attention. Okay, go back to 8:17. Look at 8:17. If children, then heirs, heirs of God. So what do you think I'm looking for there for number 23? Heir of God. Good. Every child of God is an heir of God. Every child of God is an heir of God. That's why circle 2 can go directly to number 4. Every child is an heir of God. Let's go to number 26, resurrection. It's the same, resurrection. 27, let's go to 8:17b. And joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. What terminology there do you think? Yeah, joint heir with Christ. That's 27. Joint heir with Christ. Notice there's a distinction between being an heir of God and being a joint heir with Christ. If you live in circle 2, you're going to be an heir of God. If you live in circle 3, you're going to be a joint heir with Christ, which means greater reward. And let's see, we're down to 28. 8:17 and 18. Joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be what?
Glorified.
Verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with what?
Glory,
which shall be revealed in us. So the word here is glorified. Number 28 is glorified. And you notice there's a difference between circle 4 and 5. Circle 4 is liberated. Circle 5 is glorified. Every child of God is going to be liberated from sin totally on the day of resurrection. Among those, some will receive a greater glory as joint heirs with Christ. And I really struggled for terms for number 29 and 30, and I couldn't find the terms I wanted in the book of Romans, so I had to cheat. And I went to the Gospel of John. May Paul forgive me for doing it. But what I'm looking for there, where Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So what I have for 29 and 30 is abundant life. Abundant life in spirit and in body, as compared to life in circle 4. Every child of God will have life in body and spirit. Some will have abundant life in body and spirit. Okay, any questions? 25? Life. Okay, Lucas?
On abundant life, I mean, you said that he's talking about the possibility of a more abundant life here and now in addition to abundant life in eternity?
I think so.
And we'll all have glorified bodies, but some will have more glorified bodies?
Yeah. Let's see. I didn't write glorified. I didn't put glorified in the body part of the diagram. I put it under the person. So it's a great question. Every believer will have a glorified body, but that's not what Paul's talking about in those verses. He's talking about the glory, the greater glory that the heirs of God will have. It's a great question. Sherry. Sharing his glory. Yeah, some believers will share and reflect his glory to a greater degree than others. Some believers will be closer to him than others. Okay, good questions. Any others?
Yeah, I have one.
Okay, Tony, and then you.
When you were teaching Romans, when do you start giving out the circle?
If I had it to do over again, I would start with this from the very beginning. Yeah, I would go through these key verses on the back. Then you've got a template. This is a template for studying Romans. And, I wish I'd have done it from day one. It would have helped my Bible study tremendously. Sherry, did you start with the circles when you taught it?
Yes.
When you taught Romans, did you start with the circles? Start with the outline. And that's another way to start, is the outline. Yeah, I'd have to look at it again and see, would I start with the outline or the circles? My gut tells me circles and then the outline. But this template, man, once we got this set up, we were referring to it continually to say, where does it fit? Where does this fit in the template?
Most of us learn better visually anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Yes?
In Diane's session, there was an email from Zane that we discussed the relationship natures versus flesh and that sort of thing. Could you briefly touch on that in relation to your diagram?
Zane, and I really appreciate the email. We had a discussion about this at lunch, I think, about the natures, and your email was very helpful. Zane, maybe I should let you answer this. My understanding from the email that he sent Diane Boring about this, he wasn't opposed to the word natures, if they're carefully explained and described. But he doesn't like the word nature because it's not a biblical term. And he thinks that it's better to use biblical terminology like spirit and flesh or inner man, implying an outer man. And when we use nature, it makes it fuzzy and cloudy and sometimes can lead people to a misunderstanding. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Yeah, good question. Okay, you had a question?
I had the same question as he had.
Okay. Yes.
In Romans 9, where it says, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Is that first misused by backdoor works?
Okay, we're talking about Romans 8, 9.
Yeah.
If any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just saying, is that used by people who believe in backdoor works?
I don't know. I don't know how people might misuse it. I think you know, my understanding is Paul's saying that everyone who belongs to Christ has the Spirit of Christ. So, yes. Oh, no. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. He's talking about being saved from hell. Right. I'm just said that certainly in Romans, he exclusively, and I think very carefully, he wrote Ephesians 2, 8, 9. He was familiar with the word saved being used as saved from hell. But in Romans, he wouldn't even think about that because he's consistently used the word saved in the way for circle 3 and not circle 2. Yes. Sure. 18 is mindset. 19 is spirit. And 20 is flesh.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes, sir.
Is there some reason why there's three arrows? You've got a lot of methodology for everything you've done here.
Circle
3, there's three arrows.
No, there's no significance to the three arrows. That's an artistic touch to try to show
non-directional,
your whole body. I could have put 10 arrows in there if I wanted to, to try to show your whole body can be,
as opposed to moving back and forth between 2 and 3.
Yes. Okay. Sean. Amen. That's why Romans was written. So that we would be saved from wrath, so that we could live in circle 3.
So how far can you get?
farther than you are now. That's a safe answer right there. Okay? Yes, sir. Great question. I think they understood it much better than we do because they didn't have a culture that taught that saved means saved from hell. They, when they read the word saved, they, in their Greek mindset, they knew that you always have to ask, saved from what? Just because it says saved, you shouldn't assume hell. So that's the number one issue right there, is the word saved. And I'm confident that in the first century, these people didn't struggle with the word saved like we do today, because in the church, we've been so accustomed to thinking save means save from hell. So, Jerry.
Yeah. So, Bob, if the key word between 2 and 3 is mindset, do you have practical suggestions that you would share with someone setting your mind on the Spirit?
Yeah. I think it starts with prayer. It definitely, for me, starts with prayer. I have to be talking to God. I have to be thinking about God. It starts with prayer, but doesn't end with prayer. Is just asking God to help me to think about Him and to think about His Word. And I can't set my mind on things of the Spirit if I'm not in the Word of God, which is the Word of the Spirit. I can't set my mind on the Spirit without fellowship with other believers. Just coming back to the basics, Jerry, prayer, the Word of God, fellowship with other believers. That's how, what God has given us to help us to set our mind on the Spirit. Great questions. Randy?
When you go from 2 to 4 or 3 to 5, is that when you die?
Yes.
I'm kind of thinking like...
Well, I've got resurrection. Ultimately, it's at the resurrection and the judgment seat, but certainly it's all tied in with dying as well.
You know, the great people that don't finish well, I know that they were in 3 for a while, so then maybe...
We're all, every one of us in here is a combination of two and three. This is absolute truth, but there's a range, so to speak, of between four and five. The more you live in three, the more you'll be in five. The more you live in two, the more you'll be in four. Yeah, it's a range. Well, I think I'm 5 minutes over. Here, listen, I've got copies up here of the sheet that you just filled out, and the one that's looks even better. It's all typed out. So get what you want.